Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's conversation, The Healing Benefits of Crystals, with guest Melissa Mogan. And before we bring her on, I just want to share a little bit about her and her background. I met Melissa last fall and immediately felt inspired to learn more about our topic today based on the powerful benefits that come with working with crystals, stones, and minerals. I've learned since then that Melissa's been studying crystals most of her life, and she became a renowned crystal healer and vibrational therapist, in addition to acquiring degrees in gemology and working towards finishing her degree in geology. Not only did she work in the medical field for 20 years as a radiology technologist, her desire to learn about the scientific values of crystals, as well as the metaphysical properties over the last 10 years, led her to study extensively with the Four Winds Academy in Ohio, becoming a Melody Certified Crystallogist, becoming certified in crystal surgery techniques, as well as working with the Jewels of the Lotus techniques based on the ancient Tibetan healing. She spent several years traveling to many areas to study and working with many mentors in the art of crystal healing. But I love this about her own words. She prefers to work with stones and tones using the frequencies of these tools to assist clients in raising the vibrations in all areas of their lives, with the intent of not only experiencing healing within themselves, yet also those interested in using these techniques help them learn to help others as well. So during our conversation, we'll hit on some of those specifics that is taught through her business, Your Crystal Connection. Without further ado, let's bring on Melissa. Melissa, hon, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I am so happy that you're here. It's just such a pleasure you're joining us today. I know this subject is just kind of a fascinating one from other people, so thank you for giving us your time.
It's an honor to be here.
Beautiful, beautiful. So let's just kind of start with this question, because I know that there's other people out there that want to learn about the stones. You know, we pick them up and, you know, they kind of call to us, but what was your beginning interest in them?
Well, I couldn't tell you a time when I didn't have a rock in my hand. Even as a young child, I would pick up little pebbles out of the driveway. My mother would get very upset because I would break the washing machine with, you know, rocks that fell out of my pockets while the clothes were being washed. And I was always the kid walking along the shore of the lake, picking up all the shells and the rocks, and I had a treasure box full of all these little rocks and, you know, shells and that type thing. So that was
wow.
The very first. And by the time I was in my early 20s, I had ideas that I wanted to work with stones and had not been introduced to the metaphysical properties of them yet, so I entered the jewelry industry and went through the Gemological Institute of America. And that was fun, but it just wasn't quite, it wasn't what I wanted to do. And I knew that then, so I didn't practice the things that I got my degrees for through the Gemological Institute of America.
Wow. Well, I know that you have, you know, even in your family tree, you have medical, kind of a medical experience or background experience, like through your father, and then you studied, you know, you were a radiologist for the last 20 years, but it looks like you expanded towards, you know, putting both that scientific value to work with, you know, this kind of area, this modality of using crystals. And that's one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, is I love the fact that it has a metaphysical property, but it also has scientific value. So can you share a bit with our listening friends about that scientific value?
Mm-hmm. One of the really amazing things about any type of matter is that it is made up of molecules. Those molecules all vibrate to a specific frequency. Most people are pretty familiar that a like frequency will attract another like frequency. when you have two frequencies that come together and are forced to come together, the lower frequency must change to the higher frequency. It's the law of physics. And when you're using crystals, they vibrate at an extremely high frequency, much less dense than the frequencies that we as humans are emitting. And by exposing this high frequency to our energetic fields, it forces the energy in our energetic fields to actually rise to meet that of the crystal.
Wow. You know, can you share, like, you know, some of the things about the laws of physics I wanted to kind of address, because sometimes people don't, you know, that haven't studied laws of physics and stuff about vibrations. Is it kind of like what you would see water rising or, you know, being heated up? It ends up becoming like a mist, or it ends up, you know, basically becoming ether, because it goes from cold water to steam to, you know.
The vibratory patterns are what tell us what kind of molecule something is and how dense that molecule will be. And by density, that takes up a lot of different meanings, but a good easy one is how heavy will that object be, as to how dense it is. A very low frequency is going to have a much denser material field to it. And the higher the frequency, the less dense the material will be. Everything, a desk, a lamp, a blade of grass, a rock, a human being, we're all made up of molecules. Each of those molecules are vibrating, that is, and they vibrate around each other, and like will attract like, and that's how you get groupings of molecules that will form into a specific item. And according to the law of physics, when you force these vibrations together, you have one that's low and one that's high. The lower vibration has no choice but to raise to that higher vibration. It just can't go any other way.
I love that. It's kind of like that visual to me, when you start heating water up from being cold, it feels like it's a solid matter, and then as it heats up, it almost like goes into steam or mist, and then, you know.
Manipulating the molecules a little bit and changing the molecules a little bit to get that reaction, but it's a decent visual.
Because I'm not a scientific. It's nice for me to have visuals, so I like that. Well, as I was sharing with our friends at the beginning of the show, you studied several modalities. So what I'd love is, can you share a little bit about what attracted you to some of your specific techniques that you've studied?
Yeah. As you already touched on, I was already in the medical field. I grew up in the medical field. Both my parents were in the medical field. So there was always an interest in health and health issues. The more that I started working with stones and collecting stones and finding, you know, the more polished stones and the prettier stones, the more I really did start realizing that there were metaphysical qualities to these stones. Going through the Gemological Institute of America, they called it folklore. And when I did my own studies, mainly reading books and internet studies, I would read other qualities that these stones would bring. And by working with the stones, not only did I notice that those qualities would actually start coming out within me, but other qualities as well. So it was a lot of fun not knowing anything, because it gave me the opportunity to kind of see, is this stuff for real? Is it, you know, are these stones really emitting some kind of energy here? And I found that they did. And then it took extensive research to find mentors and teachers in this type of, in these modalities, because there's not a lot of them out there. And if I didn't want to travel to another country or to Canada or to Hawaii, I felt very, very blessed that I found a school in Ohio. and it was a very weird, strange way that I found this school. My computer crashed on the website, and even turning the computer off for 3 days, the website wouldn't go away. I said, well, I guess I should take that as a sign. I should call them up. And it turned out that they were teaching exactly what I was looking to learn, and I started my travels to and from Cincinnati to learn how to take hold of this energy that the stones hold and facilitate that energy for the healing of other clients.
I love that you shared that. One of the things that you had also shared when we were, you know, working on discussing this topic today was incorporating sound vibrations with the crystal vibrations to kind of create a synergistic frequency. Can you kind of touch on that? Because I thought that was beautiful. There's a lot of sound healing going on right now, but I love that, you know, you're incorporating those two together. So would you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, the sound healing, what I use with sound healing are singing bowls and tuning forks. And the forks in the bowls are tuned to specific tones, and they create a vibration exactly like any other molecule that vibrates, creates this vibration. By incorporating the sound and the crystal vibration, it amplifies that vibration, and it helps it to enter the energetic field of the client that I'm working with in a really gentle fashion. So they don't feel like they've been hit with a steamroller. They now feel like that the sound kind of opened their energetic field and allowed the crystal vibrations into their energetic field in a real gentle fashion. It also amplifies the effect of the stones by using the tuning forks with them. There are several different frequencies on the tuning forks. The one that I use the very most with stones is in the 3,000 hertz range, and it's specific to crystals. It's a very, very high vibration.
Wow, I love that. And you know, I've had some experience with that with you as well. So it kind of bypasses my logical mind or any questions that I would have that. And it actually does almost like it puts my body into a more relaxed state. So that was kind of cool about how those two work together. You know, the one thing I love about law of attraction and universal principles and stuff is that, you know, it's what I'm learning more and more is that when people set out and they have a passion and they kind of follow it to the least resistance or with the least resistance, the things that kind of meet out in or with our work or how it evolves or expands will kind of come to us. And I feel like your natural curiosity or your natural you know, passion about stones or putting stones or carrying them kind of led you to this, you know, even when you went through the medical field and stuff, but it kind of led you through this. And it also expanded a little bit about being a therapist or a practitioner in this field. And so what gives you the biggest joy around utilizing and teaching these tools for healing?
The biggest joy comes when I am able to facilitate a client in the understanding of their innate perfection. And the stones are so good at helping facilitate that for an individual. You know, just for these individuals, these clients to understand that there's really nothing wrong with them. Everything is the way it's supposed to be, and people need to have the freedom to be themselves. And the stones just really allow them to do that. And that's what brings me the greatest joy. And the second greatest joy is when I can teach somebody about a stone that makes them understand that these stones can help them and they can respect and love the, you know, Mother Earth that gave these stones to us. That these stones were God's very first medicine.
Wow. Well, I know that you were sharing about, you know, it helped to also allow the people the freedom of being with themselves. Can you share a little bit about some of your feedback that you received from clients going through, you know, either the crystal surgery therapy or even just teaching them about crystal grids or building them? Can you kind of share some of the things that you've received from clients?
I've gotten several testimonies. They're up on my website if you wanted to read them word for word. But the basic gist of most of those are the fact that I don't see a client as needing to be healed. I think that we're all already healed. And once the client knows that they're seen that way, it opens up a freedom for them to be who they really are. And once they're allowed to do that, it's hard for them to go back. So typically what will occur with someone when I start working with them is that they'll go down a road of really finding who they really are and the things that they really want to do, what those things are. And it opens that road up for them in a way that is a very loving way. They see that they get acceptance. And that really helps the client feel free to be able to do those things. One of the big things that I also feel as a practitioner is that clients don't always need a session. I've had several people come to me and I tell them, well, I really don't think that you need a session. I think that you just needed some affirmation that you're on the right road. I don't think that you need a session. And I think that when I am working with clients, that they get to a point where they don't need sessions anymore because they're able to do this for themselves. And once they're able to do this for themselves, I think that I would actually be hurting them by continuing to work with them as a practitioner.
I really appreciate that. You know, we had a guest in our chat room that was talking about working with stones and crystals for about 30 years, and they were sharing that it's not so much the crystal gemstone that heals, it's the intent of the practitioner. And, you know, I want to expand a little bit about that because we also talked, you and I, about you know, when we're in the healing arts, sometimes getting out of our own way works as well. So can you touch a little bit of basis about that? Because there's so many people out there, and the healing industry is expanding larger and larger where people are going into this. But there's also sometimes you can tell a difference. I know I can when I'm working with someone, whether they're either being a open conduit and it's, you know, they're kind of like not in the way, or whether it their information is coming through and they're coming from that teaching modality or a teacher to a student versus being led or being served by our higher guides. So would you share a little bit about that, you know, what you've experienced?
When I work with a client, when I've got them on the table and I'm doing a session with them, I ask that my healing guides come help me with that, and I also ask that the client's guides come into the room and speak to me through my guides so that we know exactly what needs to occur for that client to line up with who they really are. Because once they can line up with who they really are, they can really feel that they've been healed. And one of the biggest problems, let me get some water. One of the biggest problems that I've seen is when practitioners get in the way and use their logic and their left brain to try to do the session. Excuse me, I need to get some more water.
We will wait for you. And we want to give a shout-out to our guests in our chat room today. Thank you so much. Melissa's also, while we're waiting for her to come back, she is also going to create and start a blog talk about the crystals. And her name is The Crystal Lady, so we'll We'll have that announcement soon. We'll also have these post-show notes and links on my tweakingyourvibrations.com, and that will be posted within the next 24 hours. So we want to thank you. Thank you, guests, for joining us, and everyone that's listening out there today. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, I'm better.
Wonderful.
What I was saying is so many times we let our left brain get in the way of our right brain, and our right brain is where all of our healing is able to occur. So not only does the practitioner need to be into their right brain at the time of the session, the client also needs to be into their right brain so that they can allow that healing vibration to occur within their energetic field. It's so difficult for some practitioners to get out of their left brain. We live in a society, and we were all raised within a society where the left brain is revered, and it is the way people make it in this world. And the right brain is all about the emotions and the feelings and art and all of that. But through the work that I've been doing, what I really realized is the right brain holds all the spirituality, and it also holds all the answers as well.
Well, I love that because, you know, we were talking about that old cliche about knowledge is power, but wisdom is experienced. And, you know, even in some of the work that I've been doing about speaking, you know, your soul expresses itself through your heart. And it comes through and expresses yourself through the heart, out of the heart chakra, which is a whole other discussion. But what I've really understood is that when we experience things, the wisdom gathered from those experiences that are felt really add and expand the knowledge of something. So it's not just about studying, but it's about feeling it and being participating in it and having that experiential process as well. And, you know, it's kind of like you can study all you want, but until you start practicing or participating in that, it kind of like feels like it's halfway, you know, halfway done, or it doesn't feel whole or complete. So I appreciate you sharing that so much. One of the things I wanted to kind of also touch base on, Melissa, is I want to share yourcrystalconnection.net. is the website that you can go to learn more about the classes that Melissa has. She's hosting. She also is located in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And so yourcrystalconnection.net, and I've posted this also in the chat room, and I'll have this on the post show notes at tweakingyourvibrations.com, is where you can also not only speak with her, call her, but you can also email and get in touch with her there if you have any questions past our topic today, or our conversation today. Melissa, share a little bit about, I'm looking at where I want to go with this conversation, but I'm having a sense, until we can get some questions, let's talk about some of the classes that you have, not only coming up, but a little bit about, you know, what the benefit is. So let's look here. I'm going to look at some of these notes here, and you share on your crystalconnection.net and about crystal healing, crystal surgery, the psychic surgery, Reiki attunements, reading, or vibrational therapy. Can you kind of touch on some of those?
Do you want to hear about all of them?
Well, yeah. Well, let's just kind of go with, you know, just a general synopsis, and then if they want to have more detailed questions, you know, they're welcome to, you know, go to that your particular, and then email you or call you. So share with you right now. You're excited, especially the classes that are coming up now this year.
We have lots of classes coming up. We just did a crystal grid level 1 class where we explained to people what a grid was, what its purpose was when you make these grids out of crystals, how to do manifestation grids, how to create a portal into the fourth dimension so that thought forms in the fourth dimension to materialize into this dimension. All of that was in the crystal grid level one. We have another one of those coming up March 1st. It's going to be a much smaller class. We had 28 people in the first class, and we're not going to have the room to do that in our other venue. But we're going to be doing a crystal body grids class, and that is going to be a class that is specific to doing grids around the physical body for specific purposes, using different stones and, you know, having the client or yourself lay in the grid. And the class is really so people can come learn to do this themselves, or they can incorporate it if they're a practitioner, they can really incorporate that into their own sessions. And we're going to be working specifically on about five different grids that'll be designed to assist them in past life memories, reducing stress, helping inspire their creativity, helping to release negative energy or develop psychic abilities, and then another one for a boost in the immune system. Now, these are personal body grids that I've been using for years and that I've used on quite a few clients, so I expect awesome results from the grids that the individuals will be learning in that class. I'm also doing what's called a Chakra Synergy Series. Now, this is a 9-week course of 2-hour classes once a week, and what I am talking about in these classes is the synergistic effect of the entire chakra system on the etheric body. And what I mean by that is that the connection between each chakra and how they work with each other, for instance, how the root works with the heart, and if there's a weak connection between the root and the heart, what kind of symptoms might be present, and what kind of things you can do to really strengthen that connection. And then you may have a really super strong connection between, you know, the third eye and the solar plexus, and if it's a little bit too connected, what kind of behaviors might be present and ways to soothe that connection down. So instead of just saying, oh, you have a problem with this one specific chakra, it's really about the way they interlink with each other. And those are pretty new ideas in that class, and it's going to be a very informative class, great class for other practitioners to be part of. I'm then doing another beginner's crystal healing class in May, and the beginner's crystal healing class in May, it has been the most popular of all the classes that I teach. It is a full day of learning what crystals are, how to use them as tools. You learn about the etheric body, you learn about the chakras and how to open them, then you learn how to lay on the stones and lay on the hands. It's a full day. We go from 10 a.m. to about 5 or 6 p.m., and we stay busy all day long, and it's been the most popular class so far. And then, of course, I'm doing an advanced crystal healing part 2 later in this month. And the basic is a prerequisite to get into the advanced. And in the advanced crystal healing classes, we go into some of the psychic surgery techniques that I am currently using in my sessions. We are also looking at doing a full day-long retreat for Reiki attunements, level 1, 2, and 3. So I expect that should be coming out pretty soon.
That is wonderful. And again, everyone, you can find out that it's going to be at yourcrystalconnection.net, the classes. Of course, the classes will be downtown at Cosmic Connections, and that's at 1701 Portland Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, some of them anyway. So, yeah, some of them will be there, and then Melissa will also. Do you have a mailing? Do you have a newsletter, a mailing list, Melissa, that they can email?
Yes.
Or join.
If you go to the contact us page on the website, they can sign up right there. Their first name, last name, and their email, and it'll put them on the mailing list, and it will also send them straight to my email. And when I respond, they'll have my. And my email's all over the website. melissa.mogan@comcast.net.
Yep, and I'm going to go ahead and put that email in here, too, in the chat room. One of the things that our friend Rainbow Hiller was sharing about, her cat loves the crystals, and whenever she works with crystal healing, they get inside the crystal circle. So have you found that animals love that?
Please, because I have worked on a few animals, and one of my students in my crystal classes, that is all she does is works on animals, and she is taking everything that I've taught her and other modalities that she's learned and done nothing but work on animals, and it's just wonderful when you work on an animal because their energetic systems are so open. They don't have any shields or blocks, and it's just, I really enjoy working on the animals, and one day I'm hoping to have a class that's going to be specific for techniques that work really, really well with animals. I see that she has a cat that's 14 and acts like a kitten. I have a cat that's 17, and she curls around a very large quartz point that I have in my home, and she sleeps wrapped around that huge quartz point. It's pretty funny.
Wow. She was also sharing that she heals birds as there's no vets in her area. So she heals the birds. Wow, that's really cool. That's a great process, to be able to work with birds, because my cats actually try to get the birds in our area, so we always like to have them up high and not, it's like, and not in the springtime. It's like, oh, please, make sure that the nests are high enough for my cats not to disturb them. But that's a great sense of having animals work with that. I'm glad that there are more and more people coming into that practice of working with animals, because animals pick up so much stuff. Don't you realize that? I mean, I know that some animals, like dogs, there's a lot of animals that are picking up almost parallel human stuff.
Well, one of the things that I have noticed with especially my cats is they typically will jump right in the lap of the person that needs healing the most. And they really empathically absorb quite a bit of junk, as you're talking about it, from humans as a wonderful gift to us. They take that junk from us, and then they need to be healed.
Wow. Well, I just want to welcome also the new people that have joined us. Thank you so much for joining us in our chat room. If you all have any questions for Melissa about any techniques or any stones, feel free to ask them. We are going on right now about the last 11 minutes. So one of the things I want to ask you, Melissa, is if somebody wanted to start working with the stones and stuff, share a little bit about where they could start. What would be a good place for them to start?
Well, I think the best thing for most people to do if they don't own any stones is to go into a store that has many stones and let their own intuition tell them what kind of stone that they need to be working with. And they'll know it when they see the stone that they say, I really want that stone. If they're not comfortable trusting their own intuition in that manner, a good one to start with is always kyanite. It's a blue stone, fairly easily obtained, and it's just a real good all-around healer, and it's just a really good stone to open your etheric body up to crystal vibrations. It's funny, Rainbow Healer, I do see.
It can be addictive. I have about 1,000. That's true.
On the side about the on the healing room, you'll see it's very, very addictive. Selenite is another awesome stone to start with because it's a very powerful stone. yet it's a very gentle stone. It's a little bit gentler than the kyanite. And when people are opening up to crystal energies, you don't want to zap them too hard. If someone is complaining that they don't feel vibrations or energies from crystals, they should only be reassured that the more they work with the stones and the more they meditate, the more sensitive they're going to get to the stones. Or you can put a piece of moldavite in their hand, which is kind of zapping them. And it will definitely, moldavite is one that most people feel right away. A lot of people will actually get a flushed feeling from the moldavite. And it's a tektite. It is formed from a meteorite crash, and it's a glass that was formed from the lava from the crash.
Wow, that I like that. Go ahead.
If you're selenite in water, you can rinse it off very quickly, but you want to make sure that it doesn't be immersed in water. Like she says, it will fall apart.
That's beautiful. And one of the things that Mikhail wanted to talk about was clearing. So share some things that they can clear, how they can clear the stones or the crystals that they have. What are some simple techniques to clear?
There are hundreds of techniques. The one I use the most is my tuning fork, tuned to a high C at a little over 3,100 hertz. I prefer that. It's called the Crystal Tuner. It can be purchased through Soma Energetics, or I usually keep them in stock quite often as well. And that is my favorite way to clear a stone. All you have to do is tap it a few times and let the frequency and the tuning fork actually do the clearing for you. If you don't have a crystal tuner, there are other ways you can clear it. You can clear it with salt water if it is a stone that can be put into water. As you know, that not all of them can be, like selenite. I see Rainbow Healer is using sujalite. I've used sujalite. When I use sujalite in my healing room, it does absorb some things sometimes, but it's similar to kyanite where it typically doesn't need to be cleared. You can use moonlight to clear stones. You can use your breath to clear stones. You can use Reiki energy to clear stones. So there are many, many different ways that stones can be cleared, and I think each individual needs to use the one that is most comfortable to them.
Wow, I like that. And you know what? I've also heard that you can bury the stones or bury crystals. I would like the simplest ones, to be honest with you. Simple and less time-consuming than waiting for the moon or full moon or some of those other processes and or burying them. So I would love that. And that would be a great little tip or resource to have, about some of the variations. That's really great. Let's see, Michael said, chlorite, been gifted these by Mother Earth, but what's great about the crystals growing in pure, I think, chlorite healing, sans fairy dust. And then it says gemminerals.com. You can talk about that. So, okay. Thanks for sharing that, Michael. Or you could put crystals inside larger ones, is what.
Seeing the large geodes that I have in the healing room, those are typically filled with jewelry and crystals where I'm clearing them out.
Wow. I love that. Thank you so much, my friends in the chat room. I love this Rainbow Healer, and Mikhail, thank you for sharing that additional information. So, you know, we're all paying it forward and helping each other out. I love it. Yes. Put the crystals inside larger ones to clear. That's really cool. So share something also with me. You know, we're kind of coming back on the rounding out the last 5 minutes. Share with a little bit about your classes, and also they can find you on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to share this last question about Mikhail. So when does your first classes start? And Go ahead.
Okay, I have Advanced Crystal Healing Part 2 on February 20th. I have a Crystal Grid Level 1 on March 1st. I have a Crystal Body Grid on April 24th. The Chakra Series, the Synergy Series starts on March 26th. And I have a Beginner's Crystal Healing class on May 29th of all of 2010.
So awesome. And I'm going to put these in the chat room, too, of the dates that they have. Rainbow Hula says, your site is very intriguing. You're also doing some things with the empaths. And you know, one of the things that I can speak from is that I'm working on with you on my own empath abilities, and journaling my experiences as well, because I found just in starting the process with you, it's fascinating the things that are not only surfacing, but they're surfacing in a way that feels soothing and gentle and not shocking to my awareness. But it's things in my head that I've never put the two and two together. I'm also feeling a lot more connected to my body as an empath, and that's really liberating. So can you just give us a little bit about this new area that you're working with? Because I'm kind of falling in love with this journey that you've started, and I know that you've knowing you, you've put a lot of research into this. And so can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I started trying to really work with what is empathy and why are some people plagued with it and others aren't, because I had a daughter who is highly empathic. I can't take her to the grocery store. She doesn't want to walk inside the grocery store. And I felt so horrible for her. I felt like she was, you know, not able to live her life, and I wanted her to live her life, and I've done a lot of research, a lot of meditation, a lot of channeling work on what empathy actually is. And when I got all that information together and got it organized, I started working in sessions with empaths and trying to find the way for them to be able to manage this, where they can have a nice, normal life and it not even be an issue. And then go a step beyond that, and it's now an advantage. They can use it to their advantage, and it's never a negative thing. And it's taken, you know, several months of a lot of work and a lot of practice and, you know, having people volunteer to let me try these techniques out on them, and we've gotten astounding results, astounding. And it's very new. It's a whole different way of thinking about empathy. And as you and I talked about it, you were like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, now you're going, oh, I see that. It's very new ground that I'm playing on here, and I'm having a lot of fun, and I think I'm learning a lot of things that are going to be extremely beneficial for people to really get in touch with who they really are and be able to live their life to the fullest.
Wow. Well, we are just wrapping this up. I would love for you to come back and share more information, Melissa, at another time. We can dig into some of your specifics, especially around the crystal grids and stuff. You can find Melissa on Facebook. Just look for Your Crystal Connection. Mikhail wanted to talk about some of the pictures that they have. She was looking at the fire elementals coming out of the candles. They're dragons. So there's some links, and I'll put those in our post-show notes on my site. As well as Rainbow Hiller said, she lost one of her favorite crystals, a double terminated quartz. She had a dream that told her where it fell, and she found it after 6 months in the dirt. That's awesome, Rainbow Hiller. I want to thank Melissa so much for joining us today. She is not only a wealth of knowledge, but she really does get out of the way and let the crystals and their higher guides work with us for healing. And also, I just want to thank all of our listening participants and our friends. Thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to you all joining us another time. Thank you so much, everyone. Please remember that who you are is more important than any role you do in the universe. You are a blessed, beloved being. Thank you for joining us. Have an awesome day, and I'll look forward to connecting with you again. Bye-bye, everybody. Lots of love and light.